This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Now, I have a very special guest today from Pinsent Masons, one of the top 20 law firms in the United Kingdom. His name is Christian Toons, and he is the Chief Information Security Officer of this law firm. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
So you're doing some really innovative things, solving a problem that most people want to hear about, which is, I can't find the right staff. I'm trying to build out maybe my own SOC, and it's impossible. There's not enough talent out there. What are your ideas, and how have you implemented it? How's it working for you?
So we've been really fortunate. In the last 9 months, we've gone from a team of one single GRC individual to now a team of 17. And I've used comic books. They've really helped me kind of solve this problem, because I don't believe there's this skills gap that people talk about. It's an attitude gap, and we need to really adjust that. And we've adjusted our attitude to our recruitment processes. We've looked at the biases that exist in that process, to how we write job descriptions, to who we go after, who we target, and how we make ourselves available and a great employer for the right security skills.
Hold on a minute. This is different. I haven't heard of people who are in your role talk about comic books ever. So give me an example of a comic book character, and that is that a profile of the kind of employee you want to bring to the team?
Yeah, so let's take one. So it's not one individual, right? If we take the Avengers, kind of a group of superheroes, they're brought together to do things that normal people can't do, to fight the fights that people can't fight or don't want to. And for me, that really stood out as being like the security team. So if you take a look at Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic.
He's pretty flexible guy.
It very is, yeah. So we need to be flexible as an employer, right? Mm-hmm. So 9 to 5 doesn't exist in our world these days. So why are you going to enforce somebody to physically be in a building, to sit at a desk between those hours? You need to accommodate that people work 24/7, or their working patterns are different and can be. That work's something they should be doing, not somewhere they are. And being supportive of that, giving them the tools and tech that allows them to work wherever they need to.
And Reed is a scientist who's very productive, but sometimes it's at midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay to you.
Of course, of course. You're paying for, a job to get done. We're objective focused. So it doesn't matter that you're not at that desk for 9 o'clock or you're not in the office, right? If your best work is happening at kind of midnight, then great. That's fantastic. That's where we want to be. Obviously, there's the kind of safety and kind of health elements that we kind of be mindful of as a good employer. But you know what? Kind of that doesn't matter. And it's really important that we kind of flex that attitude from sort of traditional recruitment or traditional employment, that this isn't a traditional industry.
Now, interestingly enough, the Fantastic Four have a particular uniform, right? But you know they're superheroes. Most people expect, you know, suit and tie to come into work working for the CISO or CISO. And the talent that you're talking about, if they're even reading comic books, they're probably not dressing like that either.
Exactly, exactly. So my next superhero, if you could call him that, is Deadpool. Be more Pool, right? Be different.
Be more Pool.
Be more Pool. And we need to understand that the best people in the security space aren't necessarily the people that will conform to the suits and the traditional working environments. And for me, the transition from a big four accountancy firm to a big law firm was quite easy. My wardrobe was already there, from accountant suits to lawyer suits. They're the same, right? But we need to kind of ensure that people are comfortable. So we've relaxed the dress code, simple things, relaxing the dress code for the security team. That the amount of kind of funny looks we get around the office, but actually kind of I don't care, because they're doing a great job, that we're not forcing somebody to suit up just to get in front of a keyboard. And little things like that have really made a difference.
How about Sue Richards, Miss Invisible? Does that mean you never see the
person? Yeah, they just disappear. They just disappear. But no, I'd probably not Sue. I'd probably go with Captain Marvel, because she's another iconic superhero. And I think that also then brings the angle of diversity in, that how we write our job descriptions when we're going to the market to say that, we need a security analyst, but I would really like to kind of improve the gender balances in the team. That actually, if I'm writing it and I'm not kind of consciously aware, the bias may be that the description I end up writing is quite male orientated, and then I wonder why I don't get the female candidates. And there's tech that can help you with that, that kind of scans and proofs the descriptions and kind of helps you address those imbalances.
And, you know, women in cyber actually, in my mind, started in the UK.
Yeah.
And it's growing and growing. In fact, at the trade shows, we're seeing whole groups of women getting together in cyber, talking, having their sessions. What I want to see is those sessions and our sessions, we all come together as a team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're doing?
Exactly, yeah, very much so. I mean, I'm very fortunate. The firm I work for are massive on inclusion and diversity. So I've already got kind of the corporate framework there to operate to. But bringing people in from different sort of backgrounds and kind of personal states and circumstances in life. So we've just taken on a wonderful lady who's joined us as a governance analyst. She's self-funded herself for a master's in cybercrime and investigations for the last 18 months and has not been able to get a job in the industry. She's previously worked in kind of healthcare and kind of completely different space, but always loved cybercrime, crime and kind of law enforcement from stories her dad used to read. But nobody would give her a job. She had a master's in the subject, but, oh, you haven't got the experience. I'm like, well, chicken and egg here. So we've given opportunities to people changing careers, flexible working. So we've got a number of the staff that are taking like four-day weeks because on the fifth day they've either got childcare arrangements or in one case they're studying for an MBA, again, in cyber that they're funding themselves. So we're being flexible and supportive but bringing the right people to the table.
Now, Deadpool kind of wants to be left alone and doesn't want to play with the Avengers, right? It seems to me that if you're hiring with these models of we're all going to be superheroes, don't we all need to work together? And if we're working in a diverse environment or working at different hours, what do you do to get them together? What do you do to create that kind of team camaraderie?
Yeah, and that's a real key point because for me as the CISO of a brand new team, this firm, individually we brought the right people together, but it's kind of my role to help make them glue and function semi-coherently together. I won't lie, our social budget has gone up, but we're just bringing the people together as the best we can. We've got some great team initiatives planned. We've had some really good events as a group together.
What kind of social events are you doing to bring the team together?
So the escape rooms have been quite popular, the kind of concepts where you get locked in a space and then have to follow a series of clues. I won't talk about the karaoke. That wasn't a favorite. We've got salsa dancing planned for the next one. We're also looking at kind of nicknames and kind of really operating to a sort of bit of a mantra that everyone's probably sick of me saying, but InfoSec's a team sport. So we're helping everyone. Every corner of the day-to-day business, the challenges we have, whether it be something in the SOC or NOC or our governance and compliance teams, people are talking. And we're actively encouraging that through comms channels like we've got we'll have WhatsApp groups, email distribution lists, bulletin boards that we can post and share stuff on. And it's important we just kind of keep that communication going.
Speaking of comms, a lot of people in companies are worried, especially in your role, about the bring-your-own-device dilemma and also their teams accidentally getting infected on their mobile. Maybe they've downloaded an emoji keyboard from China, but it's got great emoticons, or, you know, the Bible app from Russia, even though it looked like it was made in England or wherever, or the torture flashlight app from another country, maybe North Korea. So how do you help your team use the right tools, and have you done something for the BYOD dilemma?
Yeah, so with bring your own device, it's been quite an easier one for us to solve because our risk profile and appetite for this has made it quite simple. There are personal devices that will exist in business, they're fine, we get that. But actually, to conduct our business on and business affairs, we've opted for a choose your own device approach.
Choose your own device.
Yeah, so this is where we've provisioned the hardware and giving the employee an option of kit to choose from. To make it a little bit more diverse. So
you like an Android, I like an iPhone, we've got options.
Exactly.
But you've locked these devices down in a way that allow them to have a little bit of fun when they're home, but it's still secure.
Exactly. So recognizing that certainly in the fee earners spend a hell of a lot of time working on cases and they can be here till 5-6 in the morning. They'll go home, they'll get changed, then they'll be back in for 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So to accommodate those working spaces, we need to give them the support with technology and the hardware that makes them productive. And if we give them a handset that perhaps isn't the smartest, maybe a dumb smartphone, and they find it easier to work on their personal iPhone, then when we've had cases where that they're just forwarding emails or the content to their personal device to work on it on there. So we're kind of removing that.
Now, your law firm, which is global, do you have to send some of these superheroes in to parachute into a remote branch office, or have you figured out ways where they don't have to do much travel to pull that off, to secure or lock down or deal with a potential risk of a breach or a DLP problem, et cetera?
So one of the challenges we've got as an international law firm, and as we've grown considerably over the years, is we now have these international offices and presences outside the UK. And we've, as part of my arrival to the firm and then kind of our new direction here is to bring a more international feel. But if we need to put boots on the ground in response to an incident, we do, and the team are very supportive and aware of that. I'd like to think that we've got access to the right technologies and kit that we don't need to all the time. But for me, culturally, it's important that we have visibility and awareness in country of what we do, how we do it, and that the team are at least aware, but the local team are aware that we exist so we can understand any cultural nuances.
So you're a resource for all these other teams in remote locations, and you've made yourselves available at any moment's time.
Yeah.
And you're also deploying some of the best, most advanced tools to detect, respond as quickly as you can.
I'd like to think so. Yeah, and you know, there's no magic pill here, but I think we're going down the right path.
So if I were to guess what hero is your favorite, I know you would probably tell me it's Thor and he's got the hammer. Do you ever have to put that hammer down on your team?
Not yet, no. And I'm not a hammer guy, ironically, because he's the favorite. I think you get far more out of people with a carrot approach than the stick, or the hammer in this case.
Exactly.
But, look, it's not about kind of punishment and retribution here. This is actually just recognizing that this is good security. It makes sense. Why would you not?
Did you see when Captain America almost picked up Thor's hammer?
No.
He tried, and it moved, and Thor was shocked. So even some of your team members are going to think, I want to be like you one day, and you're probably a great leader to help educate them and move them in your direction. Will it upset you if you've built such a good team that you can replace yourself and retire early in life?
No, not at all. I mean, my sort of measure of my success will be the legacy that the team as individuals or as a group together here for Pinsent will be able to show, that we can give them the right career pathways, the development and support to grow and be the next CISOs, heads of tech security, heads of audit, et cetera.
Sounds great. Do you have any tips or tricks or ideas for CISOs around the globe who are watching right now that they might... I mean, I know they've picked up a lot. They're going to start buying comic books. Anything else you want to share?
That's a tough one. I got asked this yesterday, and it's like, well, for me, I don't feel like there's a magic formula here. I just kind of, I'm passionate about what we do. Good security makes sense, so why doesn't it? I use risk management a lot because I don't kind of sweat the small stuff. If the firm really isn't going to go and do something because it's too expensive, it's not where they want to be, then, hey, fine, I've done the best I can, and I kind of... we'll put that on the register. It sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but look, we've done all we can. I'll focus my attentions elsewhere.
Do you have a blog?
Not fully, no. I do stuff online.
I'm going to make a proposal.
Okay.
Cyber Defense Magazine needs your articles for these viewers, because
right.
Some of these ideas, tips, and tricks, I know you have even more to share.
Yeah.
And in our TV interviews, they're not as long. So would you be willing and consider to send some content our way?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure I've got a few hours like on a Sunday now that aren't utilized. So why not fill that with blog time, right?
This is great, because you are going to learn a lot from this CISO. And this has been an amazing interview. I'm thinking comics again and how to hire. And that what you've told us is this is really not a serious issue as we thought it was. We have to change our approach to how we hire the talent and how we let them behave, both in their dress code and as a cultural thing, and we're going to actually get the right team.
Yeah, we can.
Great. Great interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.